MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Friday, February 16, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. In today's stories, the Marblehead School Committee is receiving a failing grade from some residents. Senator Tarr calls for overturning a statewide ban on removing fishing gear.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, Patrick Sheehan is the new football coach at Masconomet, and he's no stranger to the school. Rick?
All right, thanks, Bill. Sunny, windy today, mid to upper 30s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 4:36 p.m. There's a call for lifting the statewide ban on removing abandoned fishing lines to help protect the endangered North Atlantic right whales. Salem News Statehouse reporter Christian Wade writes today that legislation filed by Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr of Gloucester would authorize the State Division of Marine Fisheries, with the approval of Marine Fisheries, to set regulations allowing the removal of fishing gear from state waters. This is Senator Bruce Tarr.
We know the importance of fishing gear, and we know it's important that it be protected as private property. But the last thing we would ever entertain is someone molesting somebody's lobster traps, for instance. That is a very serious crime in a coastal community. The problem is our current laws treat all of the gear as private property, even when it's abandoned or lost or unclaimed. And so that creates a situation where you have abandoned gear rolling around on the ocean floor, presenting a threat, particularly to right whales, of entanglement. And that gear ghost fishes. It's killing fish. It's taking lobsters that are never going to be harvested and never going to be eaten. It rolls up on the shore, and we have to take it off of our beaches where it's pollution. And so we've been working with the Division of Marine Fisheries and other legislators to come up with legislation that will allow DMF to create rules that will allow abandoned gear to be removed from the ocean while still protecting private property rights. So that's a needle that needs to be threaded. We're working on that. We're going to have some news for you about a bill very soon.
Backers of the plan say that abandoned fishing gear poses a threat to the marine environment and ecosystems. The job performance of the Marblehead School Committee continues to be a concern of a large group of Marblehead residents. Daily Item of Lynn reporter Ryan Vermette writes today that in a letter to the editor last week, a petition stated that it gave the committee a failing grade in four categories: reviewing and approving the school budget, setting policy, hiring, firing, and managing the superintendent, and leadership conduct. At last night's school committee meeting, former school committee member Amy Drinker submitted the documents to the school committee for the public record.
Good evening. My name is Amy Drinker. As the signer of the letter to the school committee printed last week in the Marblehead Weekly News and the Marblehead Current, and the associated online petition circulating since then, I'd like to enter those documents, which I have a copy of here, into this meeting's public record. The letter, signed by 142 Marblehead residents, was written as a failing report card expressing frustration with your actions and decisions since June 2023 election. In the past week, more than 760 Marblehead residents over the age of 18 have signed the online petition, proving that the community's concerns about your school leadership are far-reaching. The signers of the letter and the petition represent a wide range of townspeople, including many with histories of collaborative engagement in our schools, our town government, and our community. It's not about how or whether the signers voted in local elections. It's about how you perform as the elected or appointed school committee members. The message is a call to action for you to demonstrate how you'll tackle issues to improve our schools. I hope that tonight's meeting includes substantive discussion regarding the concerns voiced in the letter and petition.
That's former Marblehead School Committee member Amy Drinker. In Gloucester, a Facebook posting this week touched off concerns about a closed nursing home property on Washington Street that might be used as an emergency family shelter to those in need of a place to live. Ethan Foreman reports in today's Gloucester Times that the site at 272 Washington Street was reviewed as a possible shelter site, but a state agency says they're not pursuing that location at this time. And the Newburyport City Council voted this week to approve multifamily homes at the site of a former mobile gas station at the corner of State and High Streets. This is Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon.
On Monday, the City Council had a meeting, and the biggest thing to come out of it is that they finally voted on changing the zoning at the top of State and High, okay? So that's the global old mobile gas station. So there's a project out there that is ready to go. And to finalize that deal, so we signed a development agreement with that contingent upon the passing of zoning. And any passages of zoning is a supermajority vote of the city council, right? So we need 8 votes out of 11. And wouldn't you know it, we got 8 votes out of 11 to kind of rezone that area and make, that's the R3. So again, all the corners of that intersection are now R3. And we also kind of redefined what multifamily looks like in the R3 zone. So it's something that benefits the city moving forward in a lot of different areas, not just for that project. And there was a lot of contest, you know, some good debate about it. But I think in the you know, our path forward, I think our city solicitor and our planning director, Andy Port, did a good job putting this together. It allows this project to move forward, but also gives us some flexibility as we move forward throughout the city as well. So again, 8-3 vote, but now that project that I saw that everyone talks about at the corner of State and High, we've got a really great person coming in who wants to do a project, and it looks like it's going to be great.
That's Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon speaking on this week's Mayor's Corner podcast. Sports next with Bill Newell, followed by NST Extra with New Masconomet football coach Patrick Sheehan.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are 2 or 3 and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Bruins lost to the Kraken last night, 4-1. Bruins coach Jim Montgomery, you moved the puck, took some shots, but did not score.
Yeah, I mean, we're happy with a lot of parts of our game. You know, that we're not getting the results right now. And sometimes you go through that during the season, you know, and we got to stick together. We got to keep working, keep grinding. You know, it's going to take some... And we said it after the second, you know, it's going to take some sandpaper goals where it goes off of us or stuff. And, you know, that didn't happen. We had incredible looks. We hit posts. You know, those things happen.
Up next for the Bees, they'll host the Kings tomorrow afternoon at 12:30. The Celtics are off now for the All-Star break. We have a local scoreboard up on our page with North Shore basketball and hockey scores from last night. Just a note or two from last night's scoreboard. Beverly beat Haverhill in boys basketball 67-66. Beverly 1 win away from making it into the state tournament this year. Marblehead topped Swampscott 63-54. Saugus over Wilmington 57-34. And the Manchester Essex boys basketball team over Amesbury 77-33. The Hornets now 18-1 on the season. And they're 31-0 the last 2 years in the Cape Ann League. And Hamilton Wenham beat Rockport last night, 63-61. They had lost to them earlier this year down at Hamilton Wenham. A huge win at that point for Rockport. This week, Masconomet named a new football coach, and he is Patrick Sheehan. Sheehan will be taking over from Gavin Monacle, who stepped down after last season. Sheehan lives in the district. He was the head coach at Triton before joining the staff at Reading High School for the past 6 seasons.
Steve Dembowski has been a tremendous influence on me as an offensive coach. It's a real tight-knit community. We really help each other. We want to grow the game in Massachusetts, and Massachusetts football has been growing. I mean, we look at Michigan winning the national championship this year, and I think they had 6 Massachusetts players on their roster. So it's really a culmination of a lot of people donating their time to grow football and mold young lives, and that's coaching 101, in my opinion.
Patrick Sheehan, new football coach at Masconomet. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Friday, a great weekend, and we'll see you again here next week here on North Shore Today. Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell and we are joined by Patrick Sheehan, the new head football coach at Masconomet High School. Coach, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, I want to give our listeners, we have a quick overview and text on this post here with your background, former head coach at Triton, most recently an assistant with Reading, played at Linfield High graduate, played at Framingham State, and so on. But so, Patrick, first of all, just tell us the story about how you've making the move coaching-wise from Reading to Masconomet as their head coach.
First of all, I'm very, very excited about this opportunity. This is, for me, a real long time coming for my career at 20 years, coaching against Masco. There was always this aura about the way that they play football. They've always played with such toughness and resilience and grit, led by Jim Pugh, and that's carried forward, for the 9 years under Coach Monagle. And it was just a place that I really wanted to be. I always circled that game on my calendar. It's actually kind of funny. I had a text from a former player at Triton that said, "Coach, congratulations on the new gig. Do you remember you cried when we beat Masco?" It was for whatever reason, it was something that was always a place that I wanted to be. And now moving into the district, I live in Topsfield now with my wife Brenna and my children Amelia and Theodore. It's even more reinforced now with the passion that the community has for their sports programs.
No, absolutely. There's a connection there. And of course, for you now, you've coached in the Cape Ann League, Middlesex League, and now actually Masco now, of course, in the Northeastern Conference. So you go into the Northeastern Conference. So have you had a chance to, give our listeners an update. What's the deal with the coaching staff? Where does that stand? And have you met with players yet? Potential players?
We are meeting with players and parents tonight, introductory meeting, and just discussing some expectations and going over the program. The coaching staff is evolving every minute. I'm happy to announce that I brought on longtime friend and phenomenal football coach and even a better person, Neil Wideman. We are in lockstep with our philosophies on the way football should be played. Very excited to bring Brian Collins back. We're going to retain him. He works at the high school, and it was an integral part on Coach Monagle's staff, and we're really excited to have him back. Steve Bunker and Tom Kerwin. Steve Bunker's a Masco football legend. Him and his family are Masco football legends, and they've always been contributing to the program for the better part of a quarter century. And Tom Kerwin played hockey at St. Anselm's College and is a Topsfield resident as well. He's a good friend of mine, and we're excited to have those two guys leading our strength and conditioning program. Still more to go, but that's where we stand so far.
Well, that's big news. Neil Wideman joining you, a former, of course, very successful head coach at Linfield High School. So that's a huge acquire. So what will he handle? Defense?
No, he'll be our offensive coordinator.
Okay, all right. And for our listeners, what did you handle at Reading?
I was the offensive coordinator at Reading.
Okay, all right, cool. All right. Next thing we're going to hear is that Jim.
Sorry, Bill. There's only one person I would allow to take the offense for me, and that's Neil Wideman.
All right, fair enough. No, that's a fantastic catch and get, I think, for you. Next, you're going to tell me that Jim Pugh's going to join the staff here. Come on.
We got to give Jim a call. He's busy with his grandkids and still on the Mass High School Football Coaches Association board, and he's doing a great job. I talk to Jim fairly regularly. I'm honored to call him a friend and blessed to have him as a mentor throughout my career.
Patrick, give our listeners a note. What do you remember and what can you share with us about your years at Framingham State as a wide receiver?
Football has always been a massive part of my life, and playing football at Framingham State, while we weren't very good, I had an amazing experience. Met a lot of really, really, really close friends to this day. Coach Sullivan his father coached at Woburn High in the Middlesex League, was also a mentor to me, and I still stay in touch with him, and he's a great defensive mind. But just being part of a program, part of a team from day one, my freshman year, it really made for my college experience to be such a positive impact on me.
You know, I want to follow up and get your, have you talk a bit about your growth as a coach, because as Matt Williams wrote in the Salem News this week, you were a head coach at Triton at age 27. You're a little older now, but you've been a head coach in the Caban League, an assistant in the Middlesex League. You see a lot of things there for sure. And of course, now you're going into the Northeastern Conference, as a head coach with Masconomet. So tell our listeners about your approach to coaching and maybe how you can't help but evolve and grow as a coach as the years go by.
Yeah, it's true. You really become part of all of the coaches and mentors and players that you've coached and worked with over the years. I got off the phone this morning with Dave Dempsey, who was the Lynn Classical head football coach, and he coached with Ed Niswantowski at Peabody this morning, and he said, football is all about blocking and tackling. What do you want to do to be a better football player? You got to block and tackle. And I've carried that forward. Neil Wyman and I were, kind of in lockstep in the beginning years of him coaching at Linfield. And we studied with Pat Murphy, who's now the offensive coordinator at University of Rhode Island, where we kind of learned the spread offense from. And then Steve Dembowski has been a tremendous influence on me as an offensive coach. It's a real tight-knit community. We really help each other. We want to grow the game in Massachusetts, and Massachusetts football has been growing. We look at Michigan winning the national championship this year, and I think they had six Massachusetts players on their roster. So it's really a culmination of a lot of people donating their time to grow football and mold young lives, and that's coaching 101 in my opinion.
I don't think you can put together an offensive game plan, I'll just zero in on that one, without knowing your personnel that you have, for sure. But I looked at Steve Dembowski's career, and I remember him when he became a head coach. I mean, he created that spread offense for high school football here on the North Shore and beyond, obviously, as you're pointing out. But he always had incredibly tough defenses and incredibly hard-nosed runners on that team that complemented that spread offense. So, what is your approach? How is that similar or parallels what your thinking is?
Yeah, Steve runs a top-notch class football program in the state, and he did so at Swampscott, and he's continuing to do so at Milton. It's accentuating your strengths and working on your weaknesses. I will tell you, in my first year as offensive coordinator at Reading High School, we had an all-scholastic quarterback named Matt Sinella, and we were a very balanced offense. Matt was a great runner, a great handler of the football, a decent passer, and he was very effective and ultimately became all scholastic. And then a year later, we started a freshman, James Murphy, who I don't know if he needs an introduction, but a generational talent in Massachusetts at the quarterback position, who's more of a pro style passer. And we evolved our spread to more of an air raid attack and broke all sorts of school records in a school that has had a stable of phenomenal quarterbacks. And now James is playing at Brown University. I think adaptability and the ability to adjust within your systems is a very important piece of offensive football.
Let me go rogue on you here. Give me your take on the Super Bowl quarterbacking that we saw last Sunday.
I thought it was a great game. First of all, Pat Mahomes is as good as they come. It went exactly as I had hoped. I wanted to see Pat Mahomes with the ball on the last possession, and if San Francisco was going to get out of there with a win, they'd have to stop him. Unfortunately for me, I was rooting for San Francisco in that one, but he did it, and he's really fun to watch, and I'm a huge fan of Andy Reid.
What do you think makes Andy Reid, you know, so big? I know I saw a Dombowski tweet after the Super Bowl, and he also was heaping praise on Reid.
Yeah, he's incredibly intelligent. He's incredibly intelligent in the way he teaches the game and the way he develops his offense. He's an offensive mind. But I think it's how he relates to the players. I know Kelce had a little issue on the sidelines with Coach Reid, but you know, emotions run high on the sidelines, and I think Tom Brady said it best. You know, just kind of let those things brush off, because it's an emotional, physical, violent game, and those things happen. But his guys love him. You hear those guys in the post game pressers or talking about Coach Reid in the press, and they love him. They want to play for him. They know that he's going to do whatever the heck he can to put them in the best position to win.
Patrick, I really have just kind of one last area to explore with you here, and that is since we last talked, and it's been a while. I mean, I think you were coach at Triton, of course, then you went on to Reading now for quite a few years as assistant coach, but now you're in the financial planning business, very similar to Steve Dombowski, as he is doing the same down on the South Shore and was always commuting up to the North Shore for many years from his Milton residence, if you will. But now he's coaching at Milton. But is there a connection here between this career path that you've taken here with as a financial advisor or planner?
I've tried to, since Steve and I became friends, that'll be 15 years ago now, doing a camp at Bishop Fenwick with Dave Woods, but he's been a really, really close friend and mentor to me. I'm trying to emulate everything that Steve Dombowski does, including winning Division III Super Bowls. I will tell you, I am a better dresser, though.
Is that? I mean, because Steve Dombowski, I mean, I've been to banquets with him, and he is always very well dressed. Are you talking about casual fare or formal wear?
He's absolutely sharp, and we talk about this regularly, but, on the sidelines, there's no one going to be better dressed than me.
You know, it's funny. I knew his dad. His dad was very well dressed, too, as a year when I was in education. He would do presentations for us at different times. Another very well-dressed guy. All right.
Very sharp-dressed man. Very sharp-dressed man. I know Steve's dad knew Steve's dad as well. Great guy.
All right, and finally, we mentioned the financial planning thing. Just put a plug in for what you do and where you're at and so on. We don't mind that at all.
Still in education, as they say, Bill. I've changed the clientele. 16 years in teaching high school math and business, and had an opportunity to do something that I've always been interested in, and now I'm absolutely loving it and helping people realize their financial goals, their long-term financial goals, with sound investment strategies, and I'm really, really enjoying educating a different type of client.
I hear as we talk, you're getting some important financial information now as we speak. But
sounds like it.
Patrick, I'll let you go on that note, but thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, and nice chatting with you again.
Bill, I appreciate it. Thank you for everything you do for high school sports.
Yeah, thank you. Patrick Sheehan, new head football coach at Masconomet, with us here on MSONewsSports.com.